There are many Christians who say that Jesus is the reason for the season, and even make a point of saying Merry Christmas rather than Happy Holidays. And I always love it when they do, because in the midst of the hustle and bustle that we're going through right now, it's important for us to not forget what it is that we're actually celebrating. But I do want to ask one question. What does it mean to keep Christ in Christmas? It shouldn't just mean thinking about Jesus briefly, as if thinking about what happened to him a long time ago for a short moment is the whole point, and then it's time to move on to something else. Keeping Christ in Christmas is so much more than that. It's something which happens more than just right now at Christmas. It's something that happens throughout the entire year. And maybe the better way to ask the question is, why is Jesus the reason for the season? The reading which we had from Hebrews chapter 2 shows us why. So we first have to understand what is happening in the book of Hebrews so that we can see the point. Because the entire book is one long argument from beginning to end. It moves step by step along the way to prove an ultimate point. And as it's always hard to begin in the middle of an argument, as we're doing right now, yet we still have to do it, to pick up at this point, even though we don't have what came before. But at the very least, it's enough to say that Hebrews begins by showing and by arguing that Jesus is greater than all things. And that also includes the angels. The angels are indeed powerful, but Jesus is greater still. And the reason why he's greater, the book of Hebrews says, is because everything will be put under his feet. Everything will be made to kneel before him. And the angels, as powerful as they are, how could they possibly say the same? And yet, when we look at our world around us, knowing that Jesus will rule over all things, we still see so much that is opposed to him. Just before our reading in verse 8, we are told that at present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. Not everything has bent the knee. Of course, that's very easy to see if we just look at our world around us. We see a world which is filled with violence and sin. We see a world which refuses to repent and to turn towards God. We even see something as simple as a world which wants Christmas without Christ. And so as we are living here in this world, we're stuck in the middle. We're caught in this tension. We know what's going to happen. We know that all things will be put under Jesus' feet. But everything that we see seems to go against that. And that can be very disheartening. We don't want to see a world so full of evil. We don't want to see a world which is so hostile toward God. But God himself shows us the solution. Because at the same time that we see all of these things around us, we also see Jesus who suffered for us. Jesus, who for a time was made lower than the angels, who became as one of us. And even though he is not a sinner, he suffered in the same way that we do. He tasted death, which is the penalty of sin. And it is fitting, Hebrews tells us, that Jesus suffers in this way. He became like us in every way, except without sin. Because in the same way, we become like Jesus. Through his suffering, we now have God as our Father. And if Jesus is the Son of the Father, and if God is also our Father, then we are brothers. Brothers with Jesus, united all in the family of God. And since Hebrews continues, especially in our reading, we as children are flesh and blood, Jesus, our brother, became like one of us. He took on our flesh and blood. He was born of the Virgin Mary, laid in the manger in Bethlehem. And he was not just pretending to do so the way someone might put on a mask to look like someone else. He is truly like us in every way, except without sin. Our Lord has a real physical body, just like our own. And in that body, that real body, Jesus gave himself up for our sake. Through death, he destroyed the power of death. Through death, he defeated the devil. Through death, he broke the bondage of sin and set us free, who were once slaves to that sin. I know that sounds an awful lot like Easter, and it should. Christmas does not make sense without Easter. And yet, at the same time, Easter is impossible without Christmas. Because how could Jesus suffer for us if he was not truly flesh and blood? In other words, Jesus became our brother when he was born at Bethlehem, so that he would also be our Savior. And through his suffering, he has delivered all those who trust in him. Now, towards the end of our reading, Hebrews goes on to say the same thing, but in a different way. It says in verse 17, therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. In other words, it says that Jesus became our brother so that he could become our high priest, so that he could make propitiation for our sins. Now, propitiation, of course, is not a very common word. It's not the kind of word, we may not even know what it means, but it is something that we should know. Propitiation means something that you give to someone else so that they would no longer be angry. Like, I give a gift to someone else to satisfy their wrath so they'll no longer be angry with me. That's what propitiation means. And Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. He gave himself up in order to satisfy the wrath of God. He shed his own blood so that the debt which we owe to God because of our sin has now been fully paid. And while it's true that this propitiation was finished at Easter, it's also true to say that it started at Christmas. So that even as the baby Jesus lay in that manger, he was already offering himself up as the sacrifice for our sins. Even from his birth, even as he cried for his mother, he was doing what we could not, and reconciling us back to God. You all know the song, O Holy Night. It's a great song, a beautiful carol, one that we even sang at our Hanover Christmas concert. But it's really a shame that O Holy Night has been so badly mistranslated. Because the man who translated the version that we all know was not actually a Christian. And he deliberately covered over some of what that song originally said in French, because he didn't like it. But it really is a shame, because that original French carol says so well what we see happening here. And the first stanza, more literally and accurately, goes something like this. Midnight, Christians, it is the solemn hour when the God-man came down to us to erase original sin and to stop the wrath of his Father. The whole world quivers with hope on this night, which has given it a Savior. People kneel, expect your deliverance. Noel, Noel, behold the Redeemer. Noel, Noel, behold the Redeemer. And behold, indeed, our God-man has come down to stop the wrath of the Father and to deliver us from the power of sin. Hebrews goes on to say one more thing, verse 18. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So Jesus not only became our brother to deliver us from the power of sin, but becoming like us means that he knows firsthand what it means, what we have to endure for his sake. He knows our weaknesses in his own body. He knows our suffering because it was also his. And knowing our weakness, knowing what we struggle with, he also knows how to lift us up. Jesus strengthens us to walk in the right way. Not only now at Christmas, but throughout our entire lives. Jesus shows us how to turn from temptation. Jesus builds us up in the truth. He was born and laid in the manger in Bethlehem so that we might walk in the light of God, both now and forever. This is why Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus was born to become our brother. Jesus was born to take away our sins. Jesus was born to turn away God's wrath. Jesus was born to lift us up when we fall. Jesus took on our flesh and blood so that he might bring many sons to glory. Let us therefore rejoice and sing on this happy night, because Christ the Savior is born. Christ, the Savior, is born. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have sent Jesus Christ to save us from our sins and to lead us in the way that you would have us go. Help us as we sing your praises this night, O Lord, and help us always to follow after him, that we may do what is pleasing in your sight. In his name we pray. Amen.